You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Amen. Welcome back to the podcast. It's Pastor John, and I'm excited to be with you guys on this episode. We're wrapping up our multi-part series on fathers and sons. And if you've listened to the whole series, you know that episodes 1 and 2, there were multiple points, multiple teaching elements on that. But on this one, it's going to be all about sexual immorality. Now, it's still going to have multiple talking points. It's not just going to be on porn. It's not just going to be on adultery. You know, it's not just going to be on the importance of having those conversations, though all of those will be elements in today's episode. But this is such a critical topic. Maybe it's just because my dad never really spoke to me about this topic. I mean, we had maybe 2 brief conversations. And looking back, really neither of them was God-honoring in the way my dad presented the material. The things that he shared didn't really give me any opportunities for questions. And I'm sure that it's just he felt inadequate. I'm sure that he felt uncomfortable. I mean, who wouldn't, having those conversations? And I'm sure that's how some of you feel. I totally understand that. I empathize with you, not just sympathize. I empathize with you. I know exactly how that feels as I had some of these conversations with my sons. And looking back, I wish I would have had a lot more. I wish I'd have been even more intentional than what I did. And I did take my sons away for a weekend. I used some resources from Focus on the Family called Their Pathway to Purity. I highly recommend those. I will talk about resources here at the end of this episode, and that's definitely one that I think is valuable. But I wish I would have had way more conversations, and I wish I would have been even more transparent with my sons about some of the struggles that I've had in this area in my life and not honoring God in this area of my life. And I think, man, we have to get out ahead of this, but that's not even possible anymore. We're already behind, but God is big. God is good. God is a redeeming God. And we need to take the lead on this because so many of our young men are failing in this area. The reality is many of our older men are failing in this area. 68%. According to a recent study by Barna, 68% of church-going men are looking at porn on a regular basis. 50% of pastors, according to this study, are looking at pornography on a regular basis. Cohabitation levels are higher than ever as far as people living together before marriage. Hookup culture and conversations about body counts. Committed hookup culture. The list goes on and on in all the different areas that we're failing in this. Human trafficking, you know, human trafficking used to be something that here in America, we thought, well, maybe that happens somewhere in the world. Maybe in third world countries, that's an issue. It's here. It's right on our doorstep. Again, this isn't just about pornography, but let me just give you a couple of more statistics about porn and why I think this is so critical that you and I are pouring into our sons. I mentioned the 68% of church-going men, the 50% of pastors. In this same study, young adults who identify as Christian, so these are individuals who say they're Christians, 18 to 24 years old, 76% actively search for porn. 33% of all women age 25 and under search for porn at least once a month. And 87% of Christian women have watched porn. Again, we're going to focus on speaking wisdom into our sons, but the ripple effect of this, the collateral damage of men not honoring God in this area of our lives is brutal. It's been devastating for so many families. So the first thing I want to do is just talk about the importance of teaching our sons. That means using our words, not just modeling it. Obviously, modeling it is important, but teaching our sons to honor God's plan for sex should be very high on our priority list. The enemy wants nothing more than to see them fall in this area and he's actively looking for ways to cause them to doubt God's goodness. I think this is an area more than any other that young people think God is being stingy. Young people think God is holding out on them. Let me read a couple of passages to jump in today. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. This is Solomon, wisest man on the planet, as he wrote this. He said, "Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life." That's Proverbs 2. Proverbs 5, verses 1 through 6. "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it." And then again in Proverbs 6, I won't read the passage, but there is another warning against the adulterous woman. Now, in the first six chapters of Proverbs, half of them, three of them, have warnings against sexual immorality. Again, Solomon was the wisest man on the planet. And I want you to think about how much time he spent speaking truth to his son about sexual immorality. And we know that Solomon got sucked into it himself. Solomon ended up marrying all these foreign wives who followed different gods, and at the end of his life, they pulled him away from God. I wish Solomon would have practiced what he preached in some ways. I think in this area, maybe more so than any other, the devil has convinced us that God's plan is not best. It really does make me go all the way back to the fall in the garden, where Satan caused Adam and Eve to doubt God. They didn't believe that God had their best in mind. They chose to trust the devil instead of God. And I think that's exactly what happens when we step outside God's boundaries when it comes to sexual morality. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, you guys know the story well. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In the greater context of the story, the devil had asked Eve, "Can you not eat from any trees in the garden?" So he's trying to twist God's word. And Eve said, "No, we can eat from the trees of the garden. We just can't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. If we do, we will die." And then I just read to you Satan's response. "You won't die. God just knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Doesn't that sound exactly like his tactic in this? That God says, "Trust me, trust me. If you experience sexual intimacy, physical sexual intimacy in any capacity outside a committed marriage relationship between one man and one woman, it will cause death. Maybe not physical death. It will cause relationship death. It will cause harm. It just always does. That's what God is warning us. Look, my ways are the best." And the devil says, no, you won't die. It won't cause death. God's holding back. God doesn't want you to experience all of this pleasure. God doesn't want you to experience the freedom of being sexually active outside the marriage relationship. I think the devil has done a phenomenal job of suckering us into this. And so, men, we need to have this conversation with our sons, not just, "Hey, guys, save it for marriage." We need to have the conversation that God's plan in this is because he loves us, that God can be trusted in this. And if you failed in this area yourself, if you've sinned in this area of sexual immorality, I think being honest with your sons, now obviously at age-appropriate levels, but being honest with your sons about the death it has caused, about the heartache it's caused, about the pain it's caused is so important, because so few people are being honest about the hurt and the pain that it causes. All they're hearing from culture is the positive aspects of it, right? The joy, the thrill, the excitement, that's all they're hearing from culture. They're not hearing anything about unwanted pregnancy. They're not hearing anything about guilt and shame. They're not hearing anything about young women who are now all of a sudden considering an abortion, even though if you would have asked them prior to being pregnant if they would consider it, many of them would have said no. They're not hearing that from culture. They're only hearing it from the positive spin. And again, I think that's the devil's strategy here. And I think he's doing a great job. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I think that's exactly what the devil does on this issue of sexual immorality. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, you kind of had to look for trouble. Most of us knew a dad who had pornographic magazines somewhere. Maybe we even knew a dad who had, you know, VHS tapes of porn on it somewhere. But you kind of had to go looking for it. Now, it is constantly looking for our sons and daughters. It's hunting them. It's prowling them. It's feeding on them. They don't have to go looking for it. They have to be alert. They have to be of sober mind, or it's going to find them. Are you talking to your sons about their phones? Are you looking at your son's phone from time to time? I know they may not like that. They may feel like you're betraying their trust. Guys, trust is earned. And the reality is, there needs to be a healthy fear of accountability. They need to know that there's an opportunity that dad might take a look at my phone, that dad might look at my streaming history, that dad might know what I've been watching on Netflix. It's not that we're hoping to catch them in sin, just the opposite. You know, we hope that we look at those things and they earn our trust even more, that they've been honoring God. And if so, man, celebrate that with them. Tell them how proud you are of them. Encourage them that even though it's hard, even though it's tough, to honor God in this area, it's going to be worth it. There is a payoff, that it's going to be a blessing to them if they get married one day. It's going to be a blessing to the physical intimacy they experience with their wife if they honor God in this area. They need to be alert. If our sons just kind of go along and they're not paying attention to what's happening, they're going to get caught, guys. They're going to get stuck. And you need to help them out with that. You need to protect them in that. Sometimes this is where we need to be a dad and not try to be their best friend. We need to draw hard boundaries sometimes. They don't know any better. You and I do know better. So again, pay attention to what's on their phone. Look at their phone from time to time. Now, don't, you know, do it in the right way. Don't just walk in and snatch it from them. Don't do it in an accusatory manner. But just say, "Hey, son, I love you. I have an accountability partner in my life." And hopefully, men, you do. You can't ask your son to go somewhere and do something that you're not doing, or you can't lead him to a place where you're not going yourself. So hopefully you all have an accountability partner, someone who can look at your phone, someone who can look at your history on the TV. And it shouldn't just be your wife. Now, if your wife wants to be a part of that too, if that's one of the ways you're earning her trust because maybe you've had some missteps, I think that's healthy, but your wife should not be your primary accountability partner. Second thing I want to talk about, men, is these conversations we need to have earlier than we think we do. Our boys are being exposed to this kind of stuff earlier than you and I were, for the most part. Let me read a couple of statistics, and then I want to read something from the book of Proverbs again that I think is super instructive for us in this. So according to a study in 2023, 15% of teenagers surveyed said they saw their first online pornography at age 10 or younger. The overall average age that respondents said they saw their first porn was the age of 13. So guys, we have to start having these conversations before the teen years. Now, they do need to be age appropriate. I wouldn't be nearly as specific with my 8 or 9 year old that I would be with my 13 or 14 year old. And some of you may cringe and say, "Wait a minute, we shouldn't even be having a conversation at all about sexual immorality with our 8 or 9 year old. Well, I probably wouldn't phrase it or form it in the topic of sexual immorality, but certainly even at 8, 9, and 10 years old, kids are curious, kids have questions. And I think we can talk in a healthy way with our kids about, you know, God's plan for moms and dads and the way that we can have a physical relationship that's different from anyone else's. And I'm not saying we have the full-on birds and bees talk at 8, 9, or 10, although there is evidence that that's important. And I know we started having some of those conversations, again, when our kids were 8, 9, and 10, and then they got more specific and more detailed as they got older. But I don't think this is just a trend. I think this is biblical, right? Our core values, we look to God's word in everything we do. So Proverbs 4:1-4, I want you to listen to Solomon as he writes this. He says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live.'" I want you to pay attention to that phrase, "For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother." Now, he doesn't say how old he was specifically when David started speaking instructions into his life, but we definitely get the feel here that he was young, that idea of still tender, still cherished by my mother. Likely it's before he was 13. It's likely before he was considered a man. And often in that Jewish culture, 13 was kind of the transition point. Imagine what those conversations were like to Solomon. If anyone knew the damage that sexual immorality can cause, it would have been David. Like, I guarantee you, when David first saw Bathsheba taking a bath, never in a million years did he think he would kill her husband. That's not what he was thinking. I don't think he was planning ahead to that. I think he was just thinking about his lust. He just wanted to sleep with her, but one decision led to another and to another. She gets pregnant. He's got to try to hide the pregnancy, but Uriah won't sleep with her. And next thing you know, David has one of the men who had been with him through thick and thin, like one of his bros, one of the guys who was through all of the running from Saul, all of those battles. Uriah was there, and David has him killed. Now, we don't know exactly how David shared instruction with Solomon, and we don't get the details here, but I have to think those are some really powerful conversations. Hopefully they were. Hopefully David was honest about it. But again, he says, "For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother." So guys, we need to have these conversations with our sons earlier than we probably think we do. And again, I recognize they need to be age appropriate. I'm not saying we would be as descriptive or as specific at those younger ages. But I would say this, even at those younger ages, and this kind of leads into just what I want to close on, don't shy away from questions. Part of being a dad is you're supposed to know things. You're supposed to know things about sex. You're supposed to know things about a man's body, about a woman's body. And wouldn't you rather your son learn those things from you than from his buddies or from the media or from whatever source? I mean, I look back to some of the stuff I heard from my peers when I was a junior high kid and even into high school about anatomy and sex and lust and, you know, just all that goes with that. And so much of that was inaccurate. So much of it was from guys who were talking out of their rear end, excuse me for being blunt, but they didn't know. They were making it up as they went along, or they had heard it from someone else who didn't know. I hope that we create the type of relationship with our boys where they can ask us questions. And are some of those questions going to be awkward? Absolutely. Like, are you having conversations with your son about the awkward stuff? Does your son know what a nocturnal emission is? I hope you have that conversation before he has one, before he wakes up wondering what in the heck is going on. And again, I'm not trying to be crude here, guys, or I'm not trying to, you know, be sensational here just to get listens. It's the real world. Like, I remember how confusing that time in my life was for me. I'm sure your sons feel the same way. So have you created an environment or they can ask questions. Now, could there be some questions that you feel like, hey, it's just not the appropriate time to answer that, son? Absolutely. You know, I trust being led by the Spirit in that. I trust just using wisdom and common sense that if your 8 or 9 year old asks you a question that is awfully graphic, you might just say, son, I will answer that question, but not yet. I don't think you're old enough for me to answer that question. I think, you know, we need to use wisdom in that. But don't shy away from those questions. Don't make them feel embarrassed for asking them. Don't make them feel sinful for asking them. You know, I met with a couple not too long ago who's going through infidelity in their marriage, and the wife kind of broke down and said, I was always taught growing up in a Christian home that sex was kind of a dirty thing, that even in marriage, it was kind of a dirty thing. And she said, I see that that's influenced the physical intimacy I have with my husband. Now, I was quick to step in and let her know, even if that's true, that does not justify what your husband did. That even if you had some skewed perspective on physical intimacy, your husband had no right to step out and do what he did. So I made sure that was clear to her. But then after we cleared that up, and after I assured her this was not her fault at all, that her husband was fully responsible for his decisions, I did encourage her to read Song of Songs. Like read God's Design for Physical Intimacy. And there are some other good resources out there as well. There's good resources at Pursue God. I'd encourage you to look at some of the resources we have to have these conversations with your sons, to have this opportunity to give them wisdom in this area, to give them knowledge in this area so they're not hearing it from someone else. So let's kind of summarize what we've covered up to this point. Number one, we need to make sure we're actively speaking into this issue with our sons. Number two, you probably need to have the conversation earlier than you think you do. And number three, don't shy away from questions. You'll be ready to answer your son's questions. And then just the last thing that I want to close with is kind of the battle plan for your sons in this area. The battle plan is to run. The battle plan is to stay as far away from sexual immorality as we can. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul says, flee sexual immorality. We all know about the fight or flight response. It's a response that our body creates when there is a perceived threat or danger, and it's preparing us to either fight, you know, to confront the danger or to run. And when it comes to sexual immorality, we should always choose flight. We should always run. And I would encourage your boys, as you're talking to them, to kill the sin when it's small. So in other words, we've got to address the little things. We've got to address the long glances when we're walking in the mall in the Victoria's Secret window. You know, we've got to address the TikTok that's coming on that may not be pornographic, there may not be nudity on it, but it's sexually charged. The PG or PG-13 movie that we assume our teenagers can watch because it's not rated R, and so maybe it doesn't have full-on nudity, but it's just loaded with sexual innuendo. Man, I'm sure you guys can all think of a movie that you went to with your wife, and it was PG-13, so you thought this should be relatively safe. And in the midst of that theater, you are just trying to crawl away. You just can't believe the amount of sexual innuendo in that movie. So that's my encouragement as we're teaching our sons how to battle this, that really the primary battle plan, son, is flee. Avoid the situations that are going to get you in trouble. Avoid hanging out with the buddies that only talk about sexual innuendo. Avoid spending time alone with girls. Even if you don't feel like you're attracted to them, just don't put yourself in tough situations. You know, don't keep your phone in your room at night as you're getting ready for bed. If you have a computer in your room, make sure your door is always open. I mean, you guys know some of the different strategies that you can implement, but flee. I think one of the things that happens in this is we try to see how close we can tiptoe to the line without going over. And man, when that happens, you're going to fail. I can pretty much guarantee you, if you see how close you can get to the line without going over, you're going to fail. You're not going to be able to control your body. You're not going to stay set apart. You're not going to be holy. You're going to look just like the world looks. So we need to let our young boys know, and maybe your son now is, you know, almost a young man. We need to let them know that this is one time when running away is not the cowardly thing to do. Running away is the wise thing to do. You know, I think of Joseph when he was being seduced by Potiphar's wife, and he literally ran out of the house so quickly that he tore away from her and she held on to his cloak. Now, he still ended up going to prison, even though he did the right thing. But what a great example of us to flee sexual immorality. I just want to pray for you guys on this one. I want to pray for the conversations you're going to have with your sons, because I know they're hard. I know they're uncomfortable. And I know sometimes we even feel guilty because we feel like, who am I to have this conversation because I've fallen? But I just want you to know God has forgiven you. If you've fallen in this area, but you're a believer and you've taken those sins and you've confessed them, He's forgiven you. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. And one of the ways God can bring good out of that situation is for you to help the next person avoid it. So Heavenly Father, I just lift up all the dads. God, I pray that you give them the courage to have difficult conversations with their sons related to sexual immorality. I pray that you give them wisdom. I pray, God, that they would understand that you go before them, that your Holy Spirit can help direct that conversation, and that it doesn't have to be perfect. If they don't do it exactly right, whatever that means, God, you can still work in it. You can still work in them if they just surrender that to you. So help us to be intentional this week, Heavenly Father. Help us to turn the tide. I know it seems almost impossible. It seems overwhelming. But God, help men who love Jesus to pour into the next generation of young men, and let's start shifting this thing. Let's start creating a culture that honors you more in this area instead of less. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us, men. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.